Where are you, Armstrong?
I heard you guys talking about Encarnacion. I was just wondering, you talked about his age. How old's that parrot he carries around? He's got to be getting up there. I was thinking about that.
I was going to say, you know, you could have done that. You could have stolen that during your hockey career for every time you scored a goal. But I mean, nobody would have recognized it because it happened so infrequently.
Yeah.
Sorry. Truth hurts
just
sometimes.
With the Leafs, for some reason, I don't know why they didn't let parrots in the building there. I think.
Yeah, we're not going back to Junior Armstrong. You know, like.
yeah.
There's the
Hockey DB. I don't scroll too far down. I just stay at the top.
There's thousands of guys who scored 40 goals in junior hockey that are playing ball hockey now, you know.
Yeah, they're probably lighting up those leagues.
Yeah.
What a feeling. Forget that feeling. You forget it fast, boys.
What are you doing for the summer? You relaxing?
Actually, yeah. You know what? I kind of relaxed all winter. I popped on a quick 20. So I actually just started a big training program. And I just,
really?
I almost died twice today, boys.
Wow. What were you doing?
Yeah, so.
Lifting weights, running what?
Running, lifting weights. I'm trying to run it off, you know. So it's I'm not the most efficient runner in the world. So it's a battle all around.
Have
you
someone
get the distance. You get the inefficiency. You
right.
get everything involved in it. It's just a battle.
You gonna put the skates on, Colby? Or
I hope to put them on a little more this year than I did last year. I only skated probably 6 or 7 times over the winter, so nowhere near, obviously, what you're used to when you're playing. So it's kind of just on the back. You made a backyard rink this winter, boys.
Wow. Father of the year.
Well, that was lugging around out there with my 4-year-old. That's about the most skating I did.
That's a waste of time, that idea. I tried
honestly,
that a few times, you know.
It's awful.
It's just, my next door neighbor has a backyard rink. And he puts up boards and lights and all kinds of stuff. And I hear him, you know, as soon as the weather gets cold, I hear him out there in the middle of the night, you know, freezing his ass off.
Working.
Yeah. To build this thing. And the number of times his kids were out there for the whole winter, 2 that I saw.
Yeah, same as me.
2.
Same as me, but I would be out there till like, I go to like, get the kids all settled, you know, I finally pry myself off the couch, screw it. Like 10:30, 11, I'd be out there till 2 in the morning, like working.
Oh, yeah.
This thing, patching stuff, fixing everything. And we probably skate on. We go away for. We come back. Snow has covered it. By the time I shoveled it again, skate on a couple times. Weather got bad. You couldn't go out, or it got too nice, or something. It is a waste. I love it, but it's a waste.
You gonna do it next year? No.
Maybe I'll just do a little one.
Well, how big
just
was
a real small one?
What'd you do? An international ice surface, 100 by 200? What? Where the hell do
well,
you live?
I threw back on my last year there in Sweden, and I probably made her a little too big.
Oh God.
Yeah, so I got a little bit ahead of myself for my first time rink building abilities, but it's a learning lesson nonetheless.
You played with Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
How to phrase this? Because I'm pretty sure you'll be honest about this.
Yeah.
Assess him as a teammate, not as a you know, an after the career, now you're a broadcaster. I think we can all say that. As a teammate, when you're playing with him, did you admire him? Did he frustrate you? Did you feel like there were 2 sets of rules? Tell me about playing with Phil Kessel.
Yeah, I don't feel there was 2 sets of rules. Obviously, he's a high-end player in the league. We all know that. We all know his skill level. I just felt with Phil, he was looked on to be kind of the Sidney Crosby of our team, the leader. And I think we all see what he does is what he does. He skates fast the puck. He shoots the puck. He can make things happen. But I think when the game's on the line, if he can get a goal for you, that's about all he's going to do. As far as winning battles and the extra mile, it did come for me as a teammate a little bit frustrating at times. But, you know, that's Phil. That's the way Phil plays. That's why I think with this trade, it's going to work out great for him. Going to that team with two horses that carry the load, Crosby who carries the leadership, decent surrounding cast around him with other guys, and you know, if they get Dupuis back, obviously he's a vocal guy and a big leader in that room too. But he's just gonna have to worry about scoring goals, and he's gonna slide in kind of in the second row there, and he's gonna fit in great. I think it's great for his personality, great for his game, and he's not gonna be looked upon as, you know, the guy that when I played with him there, I wouldn't say we had a great roster. I wouldn't say we were that good of a team. But, you know, so he was put in a tough position there just with what was on his shoulders. But at the same time, that's where he is, was with our team. So it was, I think it was a little hard on him in that respect, but I think his skill set and his personality and the way he'll fit in, it will be great for Pittsburgh. But as a teammate, exactly what you see is what you get. And at times it was frustrating when it was on the line, you know, whether he was going to be there for you or not.
Mm.
Colby, Phil was here for 6 years as a member of the Maple Leafs, which in pro sports is basically an eternity. You know, when he goes down to Pittsburgh in September and training camp opens, given the load that you mentioned that he was carrying, how do you think he's going to feel when he steps in that Penguins dressing room and looks around and sees those other players that are there to maybe take some of those bricks off his shoulders?
Yeah, no doubt. I think riding shotgun for him is a great setup. He can do his thing regardless who they put with him. He's gonna take time to work chemistry, whoever he's with, figure out how they play together. But I think for him to go in that locker room and look around, you know, I got traded. I think even if you leave a situation where, you know, things were kind of going downhill for him with the media and other aspects, and the season they had this year, and he had personally 25 goals or whatever. You know, I think it's always tough to leave, even though it doesn't work out. You want it to work out, and guys have pride. And I know he has pride, but he does his thing. But I think going in that room, sitting shotgun with those guys, you know, working his way into the lineup, how he'll play with those certain guys, I think it's going to be, like I said, a great fit for him. You know, with the media, playing his game, doing what he has to do, and that's it. That's all he has to worry about. So it's just I think it's a better fit for him overall. It's the kind of player he is, the kind of guy he is.
Would you play him with Crosby or Malkin?
I think I'd play him with Malkin personally. Just Malkin's kind of he's a big horse. He's a freewheeling guy up and down. He can make plays, obviously those quick give and go plays, but I think he could fit in good with playing with a sniper like that. I remember when I played with him minus years ago, but you know, he played with Jordan Staal on a line, and he played with you know, a couple guys inserted off and on, guys, if I mention their names, you guys might not even remember, but you know, a couple guys that could really shoot the puck and snipe, and you know, Peter Sikora is one name that you guys would remember, but some other guys. But you know, I think Malkin would fit in better just with that game, with Phil's up and down speed. Phil also has that playmaking ability, pulling up, entering the offensive zone, finding guys late. You know, so he has that ability. But I think just with Malkin, that straight up and down game with him, I think it'd be a good fit. Sid's kind of a, you know, more give and go, that 10-foot game type of player. Yeah, he can open it up, but in the offensive zone, he works those little plays with guys. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I'm interested to see. I play him with Malkin personally.
Colby, if you're on a team like the Penguins, and you know, you're enjoying your summer, and you see that you acquire a player like Phil with the skill he has, but you know, maybe some of the other things that go along with it. I mean, how do you think those guys were feeling on July 1st when that trade went down and they heard about it?
I think you've got to be excited. I know they're, you know, you look at their forward lineup, I think they have, you know, they'll have a great first line. I think they have, you know, their second and third line are both good 2A and 2B, I'd say, up front. So they're pretty stacked up front. I think it's just a big threat. I think they're going to be fun to watch this year offensively up front. So, you know, if I was a guy on that team sitting around watching that and seeing we got a guy like that, I think you'd be like, oh, where do I fit in? How's this going to pan out? Where do you slide down the lineup? Where's everyone going? They've had a number of guys there that have, you know, played up with those guys, with Malkin and Crosby. Are they going to get slid down? So, you know, there's pressure. Guys will be coming in hungry, ready to go. And, you know, it's just a matter of where the pieces are going to fall in, you know, like Bo Bennett and, you know, Dupuis, Hornquist, Kunitz. These guys were all kind of slotted in with Malkin and Crosby, Perron. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out with both those guys. But, you know, you're working out in the summer. You're definitely doing a couple extra sprints and stuff to make sure you're ready to go come camp to show well.
Just like you are now.
Yeah.
I'm doing, boy.
Getting ready for his comeback.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I almost died twice today, so I think she's on the back burner. Boy.
Yeah. I can't get away from the intrigue over, you know, the classic one-way hockey player and whether you can have success and how is it that you know, you got 20 some odd other guys on the team who are not only instructed to, but are willing to bust their tails, go in both directions. Now, some are more proficient defensively than others. Some are more proficient offensively. But they're taught to and are conditioned to work going both ways. And here's a guy who we, a kind of guy that we used to refer to, quite frankly, as a floater. Comes in, and he, all he's interested in doing is scoring goals, and he has no interest in playing defense. He'll wave at guys in the defensive zone, but he won't stick his nose in. He'll never hit anybody, and I don't care about hits, but he's just not interested in playing defense. And how culturally in this unique clique of professional hockey players, a small group, how does that not become problematic? And I don't really want to dwell on it, but yeah. It just seems to me that it has the potential to unravel an organization. I'm not saying it unraveled the Toronto Maple Leafs. They had plenty of ability to unravel all by themselves with or without Phil Kessel. And the Pittsburgh Penguins aren't exactly on the, you know, don't look like they're on the verge of a championship anymore. But I just wonder whether there's guys sitting there going, oh, really? We got Kessel? I mean, you know, if I'm on his line, I got to work twice as hard on the defensive end because he's not going to do anything.
I'm sure he has his reputation or, you know, guys have played against him. Obviously, they know he's a dangerous player, a dangerous shooter. He's a pure goal scorer. There's no doubt. But I this is where I think it might work out great for him. You put him in a dressing room with a guy like Crosby, a guy like Malkin, who I skated with, I practiced with. These guys busted in practice. You know, these guys are the leaders of the team. You know, Letang. These guys are workhorses out there. These guys carry this team. You see these guys, these players with that high-end ability doing the little things, you know, back-checking and whatnot. I think it's a place where he can, you know, he's going to have to buy in and he's going to have to play that way.
No chance. Never happening. Didn't happen in Boston. There's no greater lunch pail group than the Boston Bruins.
The great thing about Phil is, though, is he's going to be, like I said, riding shotgun with those guys, and they want him to score goals. And that's what GM said.
They
said,
yeah.
I don't care how many days you skate, how many fish you catch, score goals. So he's got his job to do, and it comes with a certain amount of pressure, and nobody else can do what he's doing, which putting in goals like that. There's a handful of guys in the league over his years. So it's what he does. It's a tough job. It's a one-trick pony kind of job, but he does it well, and I think they're just expecting him to put the puck in the net. But, you know, you surround him with those leaders. I think it could draw out some extra out of him. So I think it's a good fit for him. You know, you look at the Olympics, where he played at the Olympics too, playing with, you know, high-end peers. You got voted, you know, most valuable player in the tournament, forward, all-star team in the tournament. He's going to be playing alongside guys of that caliber in Pittsburgh. So, you know, which I don't think I know he didn't have a chance to do in Toronto. So, you know, I think to start out, we'll see how it goes. But I like the fit for him there, just riding shotgun.
Let's put you on the spot then, Colby. He scored 36, 37 goals as a Leaf. Do you think he can eclipse that now with some better teammates?
Should be able to.
He should be able to. Just the league's so tight checking and scoring so much down. He has the ability definitely to score. You know, everyone, when I went to Toronto, they were talking, you know, scoring 50 goals. And I think Gary Lehman is the last guy to score 50. And, you know, I did like a town meeting thing, and he was at the meeting, Gary Lehman, and he said, oh, Phil's going to be the next guy to score 50 goals. And obviously it didn't happen, but I think he has the ability for sure to break 40. And, you know, you give him that, obviously, the power play time. You give him those extra minutes with those high-end guys that can make those plays, and, you know, he can get his shot off. There's no doubt that he can't do that with the group that he's playing with.
James Neal is not a comparative to Kessel, but when James Neal played with Malkin, the two of them had 339 and 329 shots, respectively, playing on the same line on goal, shots on goal. Like, that's crazy high.
That's crazy.
That's
my career.
Yeah. That's two guys, 650 shots on goal in a season. That's stupid. And Malkin had a great year, and Neal, I think, had his best offensive year ever, if I'm not mistaken. So it is possible. But it is intriguing that Malkin, who is not a selfish player, but he's not a classic setup guy. He's a guy who can, who wants the puck and will shoot the puck, and, you know, he can do his own thing.
Yeah.
Could make Neil that much better an offensive player. So it's possible it could happen. But I don't know. We'll, I guess, like everybody else, we'll wait and we'll see.
The bottom, he's not going to be blocking shots. He's not going to be doing Kessel? Other stuff. No, he's not going to be doing that. So he's got to.
He's not going to be doing anything but scoring goals. He's going to do what he's always done.
The puck in the net.
That's what he does. That's it. That's his skill set, and he's really good at it. The rest of it, he's not the least bit interested in, and that's okay.
Hey, man, if I could score goals like that, I'd be the same way.
Well, you would. You wouldn't be working out twice a day right now.
I know. With my nose on my cheek.